The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I was reading an article in the Washington Examiner from a number of months ago. Zaid Jilani wrote an analysis about the movie What Killed Michael Brown. Now Michael Brown is somebody, as we know by now, there is a narrative that Michael Brown was an innocent man gunned down by a white racist police officer while saying, "Don't shoot, don't shoot," and he had his hands up. I saw a documentary from Eli Steele, who is the son of, a giant, a literary giant, a voice who's in such short supply these days, the great Shelby Steele. He's, of course, a fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, and this is a guy who has quite a lot of bona fides. It is such an honor, Shelby Steele, to have you join us here and visit with us on the Mike Gallagher Show. Thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really mean that.
Thank you, sir.
Good to be here.
Well, you know, you were born into the civil rights movement, and this analysis that I read in the Washington Examiner really got me thinking about your voice and your perspective. And I want to quote from this article. I don't know if you'll remember it or not, but Zaid writes, "Shelby Steele has a deep conviction in the ideas of the civil rights movement he was born into. He just questions the idea that the barriers facing minorities today are identical to the ones under Jim Crow, as we are so often led to believe." Honest to goodness, Shelby, if you look around today and listen to the typical mainstream high-profile Democrat, the police today, law enforcement today, are virtually identical to the Jim Crow era cops, the water hose, the fire hoses, and the German shepherds, all of that history witnessed. It's no different now than it was back then, if we were to believe them.
That's right. That's right. I call what we have today mimicry. Mm-hmm. People mimicking the past, some of the glory of the civil rights era, precisely because we don't have an enemy like that anymore. And we haven't for going on 50 years now. Black Americans, we don't have Jim Crow. We have absolute freedom. We can do anything we want to do, become the president, run a company, do nothing. We're absolutely free. And that's scary. And so the temptation is to go backwards and say, well, no, we're not free. I'm more comfortable back there. I'm more comfortable. Freedom is a challenge, and it asks a lot. So rather than really face that and develop, we often say, well, racism is still here. It's around every corner. It's systemic. No, it's not. It's not at all. It doesn't stop you at all anymore. And I know because I grew up when it did.
Right. Yeah, you lived it. And that's why your words have such integrity. I was literally sickened. I was heartbroken the night of Derek Chauvin's conviction in the death of George Floyd. The president and the vice president of the United States stood before the world and condemned America. I was heartbroken. I couldn't believe. And of course, there was very little reaction to it, I think, certainly not in the mainstream media. But Kamala Harris and Joe Biden both tried to confirm this narrative that we have systemic racism in America, that we're basically a broken, I think Joe Biden used the word stain. We have a stain in our national soul of systemic racism. And honest to goodness, the reason I'm heartbroken, Shelby, is that millions and millions of Americans follow their cues. They follow their lead. They listen to that, and their worst suspicions of America get confirmed by no less the president and the vice president of the United States.
That's right. It's disheartening. It really is for me as well to see the president of the United States basically just flat out lie. There's so little racism left in American society. When it does pop up here and there ever so rarely, it's an international story. But it's not remotely a threat to black America. There will always be some racism in any society. We have the freest, most open society. People from I visit Africa occasionally for one reason or another, and Africans say to me, "We wish that they had captured our ancestors so we could be in the same position you're in." A free America.
I mean, it just stuns me. And I want to go to the movie What Killed Michael Brown. I know you're very proud of it. You got to be very, very proud of Eli. This is a remarkable exploration into one of the greatest lies that was ever perpetuated upon the American people. And that is that claims circulated that Michael Brown had been holding his hands up and yelling, "Don't shoot," at the time of his death. Turns out, the narrative completely fell apart, and eventually Obama's own Justice Department concluded that the police officer, Darren Wilson, shot Michael Brown in self-defense after Brown attacked him and reached for his gun. But ultimately, to this day, I guarantee you, there are millions of Americans who don't know that that's what happened.
That's absolutely right. There are. But it's an example of what we call, poetic truth. It is a narrative, a storyline that you develop that brings you power. And so the poetic truth of Michael Brown is that he was a victim shot by a racist white cop, because racism is still systemic in American life. And that white America owes black America all sorts of things. You can sum up by saying reparations of one kind or another. So it's a version, again, a poetic truth where you use poetic license to fudge things, change things around to support the idea that blacks are still victims and deserve all sorts of special. That becomes our source of power. Rather than invent something or do well in business or conquer this, we come up with a poetic truth that uses our victimization as a way to get things in American life.
Right.
Our victimization is what makes us powerful, not our creativity, not other things. And so Michael Brown, George Floyd, all of these, Trayvon Martin, all of these instances are really, really come down to being power grabs.
Yeah.
They all support this idea that racism is systemic. It isn't. There is not systemic racism in America. But you're right to say, look how many Americans buy into this and believe this, even when the facts just stare them at. Michael Brown precipitated his own death. He attacked the policeman. He hit him in the face with his fist. He wrestled him in his car for the gun. Michael Brown was 300-pound, 18-year-old teenager. So finally, he runs away, runs back. Finally, in self-defense, the policeman fires his gun and shoots him.
And that got conflated into that was there was a narrative that emerged from that was so wrong. It was as wrong as what we saw last week in Columbus, Ohio, Shelby. We watched a police officer save a young girl's life. We watched an officer literally prevent a human being from being stabbed by a raging, frankly, disturbed, violent young woman who was wildly trying to plunge a knife into people. And even when people saw the video, they condemned that officer, Shelby.
Yeah. They think that's where their power is, in the white racism. If they, and so they again a poetic truth. that he was a racist and the girl he killed is a victim. She was a perpetrator. She was about to commit murder.
Right.
As you say, it's absurd. You don't see what you see.
Yeah, don't believe your lying eyes. Shelby Steele, a wonderful author, columnist, voice, documentary filmmaker. You must see What Killed Michael Brown. You go to salemnow.com or you can go to whatkilledmichaelbrown.com to get this tremendous, tremendous documentary that is a real eye-opener. Shelby, leave us with some optimism, because I come to work every day. I try to be, you know, an optimist. I love our country. Mm-hmm. I fight for our country. I know things are not the way the left portrays them. Are things going to get better? Because one of the things I worry about is hearing from listeners every day who say, Mike, why bother to vote? Why bother? Why even get involved anymore? I give up. We can't give up. Give us some reason for some optimism.
There are many reasons. I'll tell you what my father said to me. He was born in 1900 in the Deep South. He never went beyond the third grade. When I was a hothead in the 60s and was black power this and so forth, he said, Shelby, you don't understand the amount of progress I have seen in America in my lifetime. And he was a 60-some-year-old man at that time. Well, that was the 60s. I can tell you today that you can't believe the amount of progress American society has made against this old evil of racism. You can't believe it in the 60 years since my father said that to me. So progress happens. I have every faith that in the long run, this country is unstoppable. We're going to do the right thing. We're going through a tough time now around race. But look at all that we're learning.
Right.
And we're going to learn that, and we're going to digest it and identify with it and move forward and overcome this.
I want to quote in closing from this Zaid Jilani article. Zaid Jilani is a Bridging Differences writing fellow at the University of California, Berkeley, and admits in the column that someone with left-leaning proclivities. And Zaid writes, the film that we're talking about, What Killed Michael Brown, argues that a greater sense of personal empowerment and responsibility would have saved Michael Brown's life. Bob Woodson, another civil rights activist who became more conservative in his later years, argues in the film that if Michael Brown had a sense of his own significance and his own importance and he valued his life, he wouldn't take the chance of risking it. So Zaid says, I'm somewhat skeptical of Michael, I'm somewhat skeptical of Shelby Steele's faith in the power of preaching personal responsibility. Can admonishments alone change people, or does public policy have a role in building a culture and an economy that encourages people to be responsible? But given the lopsided nature of our discourse about race and racism, Steele's voice should be heard, and What Killed Michael Brown should be seen, even by those who resist its conclusions. That might be faint praise, but I think it's praise nonetheless, and it's well worth reiterating, Shelby Steele.
Well, I'll happily receive that praise. Thank you.
And I'm happy to share it. I hope everybody sees the movie, and thank you very much for spending time out of what I know is your busy day to join us here on the Mike Gallagher Show. Keep fighting the good fight, sir.
I'll do that, and thanks so much for having me.